Happy Monday, folks. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood in New Jersey. We're having like Noah's flood. So I figure while it's raining, we just get it in with some MMA. First up, this past weekend, seen a couple of fights. And I gotta say, man, I miss the Fertitta era of this all. Because it just feels like, I don't know, man, it feels fabricated. You got Smith destroying the carcass that was once known as Shogun. You got Corey Anderson decisioning Glover Teixeira. And I understand this. I mean, I want to jump right into this because I see this prevailing theory, and it over the years you've always heard how when journalists talk to fighters, there's always that innate amount of animosity. Because the journalists will make the fighters feel as if they're know-it-all, as if they're condescending. Yet, I also see why the journalists look at the fighters as if they're kind of stupid or they're living in their own duvet of reality. Because Smith knocking out Shogun, for anyone that follows, really follows MMA, were you really surprised when you see or when you know Shogun hasn't been the same since John Jones? You know, that's, I don't want to be that guy, and I don't want to be disrespectful in any way, shape, or form, but I'm just going to speak plain truth and not care who gets funky. And you know what? I get it. I'm some guy that does these little podcasts that barely anyone hears in his living room as a great pastime, and it still doesn't change the fact. Shogun's last three wins, whoever they were against, and I need to, you know, maybe investigate this more, but I'm pretty sure they were nowhere near top caliber opponents. Shogun hasn't beaten a top caliber opponent in years. When Shogun was talking about how he was close to a title fight, or how when DC was talking about how maybe Shogun would get a title fight, I took it as a personal joke. Like just one big ha, fuck you to Alex, to Gustavsson. Gustavsson himself hasn't kind of been the same since John Jones, but we'll get into that later. The point is now, you have the UFC following the ritualistic sacrifice of feeding the old to the new. Glover Teixeira, he's been on and off in his last five or six fights. He's win one, lost one. He's not the Glover Teixeira that was like on a 24 win streak that was murdering everything up until his path to John Jones. Let's be honest here. That was years ago. Ever since then, he has not been the same. Shogun has not been the same since the John Bones Jones fight. And this is the truth. Jeremy Stephens getting ready to fight Jose Aldo. This isn't Jose Aldo coming off. This is Jose Aldo on his downslide. And Stephens running his mouth, talking about how he's going to show his greatness. You could tell he's not in tune with the reality. Shogun has come into his radar because Shogun is descending like Lucifer descended from heaven. And now he's in the range of fighting guys like Jeremy Stevenson. Okay, it's not like Jeremy Stevenson all of a sudden picked up this. He's a monster. Stevenson has been fighting for years, and he's never got a title shot. I mean, let's just call it like it is, man. Like you're not climbing up the ladder. It's just these guys are falling down the ladder, and you're picking up the scraps. Smith, Anderson, Stevens, like you guys, you know, Corey Anderson and Sam. I think his name's Sam Smith. I don't claim to be anything special. I'm just taking it as a person who's done martial arts for many years, who's watched MMA since the first Taylor Tooley versus Gerard Goudeau fight. I think it's Gordo, actually, but, you know, it's here, neither here nor there. I feel I'm not speaking stupidly or I'm just blatantly blasting out. There's nothing that you're like, oh, these guys are world killers. Everyone looks relatively in the same league. Now, physically, they are all beasts. But again, we already understand that they're already in the one percentile of population physicality. These guys are athletic machines. All right. when Brandon Schaub talks about how Covington is, he's an animal, you know, the pressure he can apply, it just basically means he can fight at a high pace for a long amount of time. He's not doing anything technical-wise that's amazing. He's not subbing people. He's not knocking people out. He's not setting up baits and switches with his strikes that you can just see the angles and calculations. He's just, he has a high output and he can wear you down. That's what a lot of these guys can do now. Like that's, again, I hope I can get this term coined, submission by attrition, okay? A lot of these, Kane, Cormier, Covington, Nick Diaz, it really started the Joe Frazier way, okay? I don't have anything up my sleeve for the most part, and never mind the fact that Frazier had a left hook. But I mean, when you looked at Frazier as opposed to Ali, who just had the cunning, the calculation, we can call Ali the John Jones, the Anderson Silva, the laser strikes, the pinpoint at the setups. Ali didn't have a lot of knockouts, but when he needed to, he had his tricks. He had them. You could be hurt. You could be taken out by Ali. The George Foreman, the devastating power, you can call that the Anthony Johnson for, you know, for the little amount of time he could actually, you know, that one round he was a killer. But these guys that wear on you, they're everywhere now. So they're not going to stand out as someone who, when Jose Aldo was coming up, how he was just knocking everyone. John Jones, he made every fight just look devastatingly easy. He always had a new trick up his sleeve. You saw his different technical switch from the previous fight take place in the fight you were watching. You saw it. You saw his growth rate just rapidly climb up. I don't see that with this new crop of guys. They basically look like clone copies of each other, just with little slight different variations. So I don't know how they stand out unless the UFC is trying to make them stand out by hyping them. This is what we're watching. We're witnessing the era of hype. Hype train started by the promo trains. That's exactly what we're watching. It's just everything is, oh my God, oh my God. Stipe Miocic was the most dominant heavyweight champion ever, even though he was fighting in the most stagnant era of the heavyweight championship. There was nobody there because Kane had devastated on his way up. And now that Kane got hurt, there was nobody really there. Miocic was, whoever I am, and I'm nothing, you know, hey, whatever, I get it. But if I'm just going to state my opinion, Miocic wasn't this devastating, crisp striker. He had his hands low a lot. He would lunge a lot with his punches, and he was knocking out these old, he was fed the Mark Hunt, Verdum, who else was his big, Junior Dos Santos, all these guys, their peak, their upper echelon time was waned out. And he was on the come up and they were on the come down, and they met in the middle, and he ascended. He ate their names and ascended. Maybe we're going through a purge era where a lot of the old guard is now dying and we're just watching the new guard come out of the protoplasmic soup of this new UFC situation. But a lot of it just feels so fake. And Gustafson, he's on his descent. Everyone wants to hurry up and get a title, it feels like, because they know pretty soon their shelf life is running out. Gustafson gets the title. Who's next to really threaten him? Nobody. He could possibly wait for John. Like, these guys are trying to like buy their time as much as possible, because it's like, nope. And I can't knock them. What I knock is the promotion stuffing this bullshit down my throat when I watch it. Or the fighters trying to convey, like, dude, you know Shogun is shot. You know it. You should have said something like, listen, I hope he doesn't come back again. There's a new breed and he's not fit for us anymore. And something of that nature. Talk about, oh, I got to show my skills and that. Like, my dude, you just showed you can beat up a guy who the height of his career was in 2005. 13 years ago. The dude who 13 years ago was a killer, we haven't seen from boxing and everything what happens to fighters when they fight too long. Glover Teixeira. Teixeira, again, hasn't been the same. You got a unanimous decision. You're talking about how you want to be a champ ASAP. You're talking about how you want to show your greatness. You should have finished him in one round. That would have been, again, Teixeira's not as worn out as Shogun, but he's not sparkling, I'm a killer Teixeira either. Like, we see this. Us who are intelligent, who've trained, who understand a fighter's wear and tear on his body, a fighter's wear and tear on his mentality, we can see and analyze, wow, remember when this guy was doing that? And now look at him. He's not looking too good these days. But this guy's like, I killed him, I took him, give me a title shot, I'm ready, dog, I'm here. And it's like, oh, man, this is not, this era of UFC is, it's like made for the idiocracy of America. Like, this is not intelligent. We respect your intelligence, where everything is a shtick. Chael Sonnen, Kobe Covington. I'm sorry, I'm not going to refer to Kobe no more. I'm going to call him Little Tay, because he's the Little Tay of MMA. That's what we're going to call him. Everything he does is made for shock value, and he has to keep on upping the game. It's already getting old. Tyrone Woodley. Woodley himself, the welterweight champion. Nothing sticks about him. His fights are almost as boring as Covington's. He looks like a killer, but he fights like he'd rather be doing everything else. He's trying to be an actor. He's trying to do music. He already has his foot out the door in a way. You can see it. And I totally understand that, because God knows, I wouldn't want to be, my sole way of making money is by putting my body on the line and my brain. I get it. But if this is the life you choose, this is the life you choose. And I feel Woodley's like, he's like the black muscular version of Ronda Rousey. You know, once you get the belt, you're already talking about retiring. Like, yo, I'm going to be the greatest of all time. You're already not seen as the greatest. Woodley will never be known as the greatest welterweight of all time. That's just, I don't think, in comparison to like GSP, I don't think his body of work would warrant that. So that's already out the picture. And we know the public, for the most part, is idiots. They just bleed and, dude, ground and pound is so gay, or grappling's gay, dude, stand him up. I get it. But still, you got to play to the mob, and your strings of decisions, or that narrow-ass win over Thompson, which makes it still seem like y'all got unfinished business, that doesn't help, you know, doesn't help your promotion projection situation. You know, like, it doesn't, you're not nailing home you're a monster. It's like, he looks like a monster, but it's not really delivering like you would think by his, you know, he looks like a fucking killer. He looks like Mike Tyson's baby cousin, but it's not delivering. Corey Anderson, Anderson and Smith maybe should fight while they're waiting. Gus should just, I'm not trying to sound rude, he should just hang it up. Maybe he needs to retire. I mean, they never do, but it's like, his last big win was against, I think, Teixeira, who we already stipulated kind of, he's been on the downside for a while. And now that he didn't find an opponent, and I get, now the fighter is all about making smart moves. Like, listen, I'm hurt. When we all know every fighter comes into these fights with some type of injury. And so now it's like, no, my knee. He's playing that smart card, I guess. But for the guy who runs away in fights and back circles to the cage, like, this, you're not looking too hot right now, my man. You're not looking like the guy who's like, yeah, give him the title shot. You're not, there's no clear-cut deserving title shot contender in the lightweight or heavyweight. Because, again, there's this fluctuation of stagnation. That Cain wiped out the field in heavyweight. Stipe came in and picked off the bones for a while. Then it was really boring. They were like, who's left? John Jones wiped out the light heavyweight division. He cleaned it. Beats up Cormier. Then he fucks up his personal life. And now Cormier's the champion. And then Cormier, who does Cormier really fight? He fought Anthony Johnson. showed that Johnson can't go past one round, took him out. He showed Gustavsson in a split decision, showing Gustavsson is the rightfully number three of the, you know, if there was, if we can use the analogy of Ali, Frazier, Foreman, and how they would interchange, you know, Jones, Cormier, and Gustavsson were the three, the trifecta of that division. And then he fought Dan Henderson in some bullshit. He fought Silva, Silva saving the day, and Silva hurt him with that body. And the fact he didn't finish Anderson Silva and was legitimately hurt by that body kick, that didn't make, if that was Jones, I don't think that would have happened. That didn't help him. He fights Volkan Oezdemir? Who? And they're like, what? And then that's it. There, Jones legitimately took out every viable, believable killer of that division. Same with Cain. Even though the heavyweight division never really had clear-cut killers, it was basically just Cain and Dos Santos. In the heavyweight division, it was Cain, Dos Santos, Miocic of like that trifecta theory. And Cain and JDS, Cain took a lot of years off his life, so by the time Miocic got him, JDS, the first fight was close, but you saw it took a lot more out of JDS than it did Stipe. And when they fought again, you saw what happened. There's a lot of stagnation here, guys. And now there's a lot of hype. And they're sacrificing these fighters who should have been retired a couple years ago to these new guys. And they're like, look, look, we have a new killer. And they're really not, though. They're not standing out like you would think that would warrant them to be like, oh, no, this is universally recognized as the new breed. They're all the same. They're all cookie cutters. Great cardio. They can punch some, they can kick some, but they rely more on their takedowns and wrestling. Curtis Blaydes, his biggest win is against Alistair. I've had my lights turned out more than the clap on Overeem. Like, he Overeem should have retired 2-3 years ago, too. It's the guy that got knocked out by Bigfoot. That's Blaydes' biggest claim to fame, and his style is another grappling-focused. When, again, I understand that. Look what happened to Max Holloway. And I don't mean to demean or talk bad about his situation. I hope all goes well with his health for him and his young son and his family. But Holloway and that Hawaiian stand and bang, brah. Like, that's what happens when you stand and bang all the time. You could get brain injuries and tissue damage, and you can't take them shots like that. Not with 4-ounce gloves, not with elbows and knees and stuff and kicks applied. The half-life of MMA fighters seems a lot more volatile because there's more variables to that brain injury. Legs can generate so much more power than punches. Elbows, knees, oh my. And that standing, that let's throw down, let's point to the ground and stand right here and trade. Then you're weight cutting all the time because you want to fight in the division that you really maybe could be fighting in the lightweight division. So you're playing with the water intake of your brain and the fluids, and oh man, that's a bad recipe, man. That's a real bad recipe, and it's starting to play out the way you would think, man. A lot of the deaths in boxing, they don't happen in the heavyweights or the big weight classes. It's those lower weight classes when the guys are trying to weight cut, they're trying to dehydrate themselves out of brain. When the brain is filled with fluid and it's one size, and then you dehydrate it and it shrinks down, it creates that much space in the skull for it to bounce around. It goes from a fully immersed in water sponge, then you drain it out and it's shrunk down. That space in between where the skull is and where the brain used to be, and now that you've kind of dehydrated, that's how it bounces around. And if you're getting kicked, kneed, elbowed in training, God knows what could happen, man. Like, I understand why there's the guys who focus on grounding and pounding and riding out. I understand why that's not seen as the most exciting yet the most intelligent way to apply your craft. But as the guy who does watch, I do understand when these fans are like, man, that guy's fucking boring, man. He needs to throw more punches. I understand. It's pick your poison, man. If you're going to have a long career, but you're going to be seen as a boring guy who had a long career, or you're going to be a gladiator, you're going to be Spartacus, but you will go out on your sword. And I don't think one is better than the other. I just try to point out the pros and cons of each. And this new breed of MMA fighters, they're smarter, but the smarts is coming at a cost of being less entertaining. Not all of them. Some of these guys are bangers, but the bangers seem unpolished. Mike Perry, you know, he's the Tank Abbott type. I firmly believe if Darren Till still fights in the welterweight division, I firmly believe Darren Till would cut him up. Till's in that category of weight cutters. Till went blind. Him, Max Holloway, you know, like those guys, the guys who get an edge any way they can. I think they shorten. If an MMA fighter's half life is short, I think those guys shorten it even more in half. Because if you're weight cutting that much intake, that can't. Johnny Hendricks, you know, like these guys, man. You have an MMA. You're noticing this emergence. One, the promotional shift. It's now all bullshit. Nothing, you know, it's that Hollywood glitz and glam. That Brock Lesnar being a viable contender is bullshit, but they're going to sell it to you. So the promotion shifted away from more of a reasonable hierarchy of fighters and who's number one, who deserves the title, who's in a win streak. That shifted away. Then the fighters are breaking themselves up through their choices into different subcategories. There's the fighters who are coming up, but they get two wins and they're clamoring for a title shot. So they're going to start cutting these WWE promos, which works on dumb, uneducated fans, and then they climb up their ranks faster, i.e. the Colby Covingtons, the Conor McGregors. Because mind you, folks, Conor McGregor is not the greatest MMA fighter ever seen. If Khabib looked like an amateur in his boxing endeavor versus Iaquinta in Joe Rogan's eyes, Conor looks like a grappling amateur every time it ever hits the mat. I mean, let's just be fucking real. I mean, so if Rogan can talk that way about Khabib, it's the same for Conor. Except Khabib can be as amateur as he wants. He's come up the hard way. Name one person he hasn't fought in the light heavy division. Even though Khabib is in that subcategory of weight cutters, even though I respect the fuck out of Khabib, we can't ignore that. Khabib cuts a shitload of weight. Then there's the fighters who, you know, they're from the old cloth. They just come in and do the work. They just come in and they fight, but they fight with a smart, you know, Blades. Anderson, his last win, you know, with the takedown. Who's another guy that's, you know, getting wins, but you're like, these wins are, even Mendez just came back. He finished Miles Jury, which his style may be seen more of a ground and pound, but it works. He pounded the shit out of Jury. Even though Mendez, with his physique and his past PED usage, makes you go, And Miles Jury has been on a downside ever since Cerrone beat the piss out of him. I've never heard Miles Jury seen as a coming up contender since then. So again, you know, like, what does that say? You can't really get too big about that. The subdivision fighters, the whole, now then there's the old guard still trying to stay relevant. There's the Jose Aldos, there's the Shoguns, there's the Glover Teixeiras, and even Gustavsson. Gustavsson's time is coming. He's going to suffer a defeat. It's going to be crushing. It's going to be ugly. His time is coming. Shit, even Jones. I don't think so, but just say Jones come back next summer. Some young cat come and knock his block off. He'd be like, oh, shit. You never know, man. The old guard is coming. The Jones, Gustavsson, their era is almost over. The only one that you can say possibly is Jones himself. This layoff might have like allowed his body to reheal, to reamp, whatever he's doing. You never know. Jones can come back and go on a tear again. But he is a last representation of the Glover Teixeira, the Lyoto Machida era, the Ryan Bader era, the Rashad Evans era, the TRT Vitor, the Glover Teixeira 23 fight win streak era. Like, these him and Gustavsson are, and Gustavsson, like I said, may be coming up short with his era one day soon. There's a lot of transitions going on within the fighter and within the promotional efforts themselves, and it's not, I don't think it's all good, folks. I'm going to tell you again, I feel like they're trying to pull the wools over our eyes in every aspect. I feel this Illuminati-esque manipulation just going on in the back and everything. I feel like Jim Cornette and Paul Heyman are behind the WWE fucking cameras telling the fighters, all right, say this and say that. It feels so ridiculous now. Like I said, a previous installment, I feel like it's an insult to my intelligence as the man who enjoys viewing martial arts combat. And again, I'm not trying to demean or belittle anyone's endeavor in this cage because they put themselves up on the line in a way I could never do. But truth is truth, and the most hated man in the room is the guy who speaks it. So if y'all gonna hate me, I understand. But just try to see through a reasonable lens. And what I is, when I speak, is it as a troll, as a man who has so much inner hate that I'm just spewing it out in all directions, or am I taking strong intellectual insights and saying, what am I really looking at? And in the end, whoever enjoys this, whoever is my viewers and listeners, that is up to you. Remember, folks, it's always better to be the predator than it is to be the prey. Giddy up. Take care.